like I said, in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles and chapter 31. 2 Chronicles, chapter 31. Beginning at verse 1. Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah, and brake the images in pieces, and cut down the groves, and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim also and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, and for the new moons, and for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah, that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. In the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps, and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them, and brought in the offerings and the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Conaniah the Levite was ruler, and Shimei his brother was the next. And Jehiel, and Azaziah, and Nahath, and Asahel, and Jeremoth, and Jozabad, and Eliel, and Ismachiah, and Nahath, and Benaiah, were overseers under the hand of Conaniah and Shimei his brother, at the commandment of Hezekiah the king, and Azariah the ruler of the house of God. And Korah the son of Imnah the Levite, the porter toward the east, was over the freewill offerings of God, to distribute the oblations of the Lord and the most holy things. And next him were Eden and Miniamin and Jeshua and Shemaiah, Amariah and Shechaniah, in the cities of the priests, in their set office, to give to their brethren by courses, as well to the great as to the small, beside their genealogy of males from 3 years old and upward, even unto every one that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their service in their charges according to their courses, both to the genealogy of the priests by the house of their fathers, and the Levites from 20 years old and upward in their charges by their courses, and to the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives, and their sons, and their daughters, through all the congregation. For in their set office they sanctify themselves in holiness. Also of the sons of Aaron, the priests, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, In every several city, the men that were expressed by name to give portions to all the males among the priests, and to all that were reckoned by genealogies among the Levites. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and true before the Lord his God, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and prospered. Let the Lord add his blessing to that reading from his word. As we come to the word of God this evening, we are looking at that 20th verse of 2 Chronicles chapter 31. I think I'm right in saying that I'm booked for 3 more Thursdays, and that's good because the study I'm about to start is in 3 parts. It's entitled Good, Right and True. As I said, we take as our text 2 Chronicles 31 verses 20 and 21. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Hezekiah wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And I want us to look at these 3 words: good, right and truth. And to ask ourselves, what is good? What is right? And what is truth? We all know, don't we, that the world has a distorted view of what is good and what's right and what is truth. This is nothing new. Paul spoke of those that spoke of people who did good as evildoers, and the evildoers as being good. And back in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And so we as God's people need to know what is good, what is right, and what is true. And tonight we're going to deal with what is good. And we see here in verse 21 it says, "And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart." And look what happened. He prospered. There is a promise that is made throughout the Word of God that those who will do good and do right and be true, according to God's Word, you are promised prosperity. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. God forbid that I should do such a thing. Don't think of prosperity the way the world thinks of prosperity. It may be a prosperity that you may not see much of in this world. But God promises to reward his children for their faithfulness. And so we need to serve the Lord with that in mind, knowing that God is just, that God is right, that God will reward us for our faithfulness. But I want us to look tonight at what is good. You can look in a dictionary and there'll be a whole list of things, definitions of what good is. But I want us to look here in the Word of God and see what good is, because the Word of God is our authority, isn't it? We look here in verse 20 and we find first that good is that which is good before the Lord. That's what it says. "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrote that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. In other words, what he did, it was right, it was good, it was true before the Lord, and God was pleased with it and saw that it was right, that it was good, that it was true. For us to understand what good truly is, we must go to the Word of God and see what God has to say concerning good. So look at me if you would, and we have a lot of scripture tonight, but this is after all a Bible study. If you look at Psalm 25, let's go through the Word of God tonight and let's see some of the things God has to say about what is good. Psalm 25 verse 8. The first thing we'll find is that the Word of God says that the Lord is good. Psalm 25 verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Now, if you do very much meditation, knocking on doors, speaking to people about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about where they stand with God, you will eventually come across someone who will have a negative opinion regarding God. They will not think that he is good. They will not think that he is upright. But the Word of God declares that he is good and he is upright. Look in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. It says that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. That's what we are told in Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, he's a stronghold, and what? He knows those who are trusting him. So we see, according to the Word of God, when we think of what is good, it's good to see, first of all, that God is good. Not only is God good, but in Psalm 119 we find that not only is God good, but God does good. In Psalm 119 and verse 68, thou art good and doest good. In Psalm 73 verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. In other words, God is good to his people. And then if you look in Psalm 84 and verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And then in Psalm 85 verse 12 it says, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. God will give that which is good. In James chapter 1, not only is the Lord good, but the Lord does good, and we need to understand that. James chapter 1 verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God's word declares that God, the good gifts we receive, they come from God. And you know, it's good to be thankful. And we'll see that in just a minute. And it's good to be thankful to people who do good things for us. But we need to remember that every good gift comes down from the Father. And God uses people to show us goodness and to show us kindness, but it originates with the Father. So we see that not only is the Lord good, but the Lord does good. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we find that the Word of God tells us that we are to follow good. Now, if God is good and does good and we are to follow good, then it stands to reason that God is the one we are to follow. And that's what we're told in the epistle that Peter wrote. That being his sheep, we are to follow him. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." You know, as Christians, sometimes we might find it easy to do good for other Christians, but the Bible says here, follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. What did Jesus say? He said, if you do good to those who do good to you, you're no better than the publican. In other words, if we only do good to those who do good to us, you're no different to the rest of the world. So we are to follow after good. And then verse 21 of the same letter, it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. One of the things you'll find is that the word of God and the standard of God's word has not moved. It is ever the same. God's word and God's standard is still in the same place as it has always been. But what happens is that we as God's people, we move away from God's standard. And we need to look in God's word and we need to see what God teaches is good. And here in verse 21 it says that we are to prove all things, and then it says, hold fast that which is good. When do you usually realize that something is good? It's usually when it's gone. We look in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 1 that we're to hold fast that which is good, and then in Hebrews 4 verse 14 it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now it's not teaching us to hold onto our salvation, or that you can lose your salvation. But the word of God tells us, and we'll see it in a moment, that we are to cleave to that which is good. If you look in chapter 10 verse 23 of Hebrews, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. If you have a true profession of faith, you have something which is good. And you have to hold on to that. Don't let Satan deceive you. Don't let him trick you. Don't let him try to play games with your mind in convincing you that you are not saved. Because as a child of God, you are eternally secure. And so we have to follow that which is good. We're told to hold on to good. And then in Romans chapter 8, a very familiar passage of scripture, I'm sure to you, it tells us that all things work together for good to them that, notice, love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I want you to notice in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He said that we know all things work together for good. Whether it's something that we perceive as good that's happening, or whether it be some tragedy or some apparent evil that comes into your life, God is going to use that to work good. I believe that that good is that he is conforming us to the image of his Son. That's the good. To be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, and by the way, I think if you study the Word of God at any length, you'll find that in order to be conformed to the image of Christ, suffering is a major thing that the child of God must deal with. And so we need to realize that all things work together for good. Then, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, again, depending on your source of information, will determine what you consider to be good and what you consider to be evil. You could pick out any particular subject you might want to think of, and you could go around you and ask each one, do you think this is good, or do you think this is evil? It will depend on your background, to a large extent. Or maybe what place the Word of God has in your life, whether you might think it is good or you might think it is evil. But I want you to notice in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so we have to think on good things. And then in Psalm 34, not only are we to think on good, but we are to do good. In Psalm 34 and verse 14, we find, depart from evil and do good, seek peace. And then look what it says, and pursue it. Pursue good. Pursue doing good. In verse 15 it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The Lord is watching. The Lord sees everything that we do. And the Lord wants us to do good and to pursue it. And then if you look in Psalm 37, you notice in verse 3 it says, trust in the Lord. And then it says, and do good. Trust in the Lord. Because there are going to be times when you and I are not going to want to do good. But we have to trust the Lord and do good anyway. It may be that God has put us in a position to do good for someone, or a situation that we would rather not do good. We would just as soon ignore it. But God says, trust me and do good. Do that which is right. And so we have to trust the Lord and do good. And then we need to realize in Galatians chapter 6 that in doing good, we are to continually do good. In Galatians 6 verse 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so we are not to be weary in well-doing. We are not to grow tired of it. We are to do good unto all men, and especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to those who are of the household of faith. Notice what Paul, in his letter to Titus, has to say. In Titus chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, concerning good, find your instruction for the young men, but it can be an application made here for each and every one of us, I believe. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now, I don't know much about being a seamstress, but ladies, if you were going to make a dress, what would you want? What would you need? A pattern. If you were to see a dress in a magazine, and you said, I want that dress, I can't afford to buy it in the shop, or it's not available, ready-made in the shop, you would go and you would get the pattern for that dress, and you would use that pattern to cut the dress out in order to get that dress. We find that the Word of God gives instruction that specifically here it says to the young men, but we can apply it to us as the people of God, that we are in verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In all things. You know, we need to seek to follow after good, to do good in all things. But it says, showing thyself a pattern. In other words, someone else can look at us and say, there is a person that does good. In other words, our lives are to be a pattern of good works to those who are younger, or even a pattern of good works maybe to another adult who has not been saved as long as we have. And so, in doing good, we are to be a pattern of good works. Others ought to be able to look at us and see our good works. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 5 verse 16, in speaking there to his disciples. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, our doing right is not so that we can be exalted in front of other people. But as a Christian, when I do right, it brings honour and glory to the Lord. That's what it's all about, isn't it? I'm not doing right so that I look good. I'm doing right so that it brings honour and glory to the Lord. Look at verses 4 and 5 of this same chapter in Matthew chapter 5. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Well, that's a big pill to swallow, isn't it? But that's what Jesus said. And he went on to say, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. There are again times that doing good means that we must just trust the Lord and what he has said and do it. So doing good, what is good? Well, good is what is good according to God, because God is good and does good. So we are to do good according to James 4:17. It says there, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To know what is the right thing to do and not do it, the Word of God says that is sin. We look at verses 14 and 15 of James chapter 4. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, we really don't have that much time to do good. Even if we live to a ripe old age, that's not really much time to do good compared to eternity. When we think of doing good, sometimes we'll say, well, I'll do good tomorrow. If you look here in the text, in verse 15, it says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Because the truth is, we don't have the assurance that we will have tomorrow to do good. And so we have to do good. We turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. What is good? Well, the Lord is good. God's word tells us what is good. The word of God is our standard. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. We find here again, if we know something is good to do, and it's within our power to do it, and we know that that's what the Lord wants us to do, and we hold back, we are grieving the Lord. We are grieving the Spirit of God. We look again in James, in chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now faith, the faith that the Bible speaks of, will be demonstrated by good works. If you look in Romans chapter 12, one last verse on this particular thought. Romans 12, one of the interesting things that I've come across in studying the Word of God is that one of the things the Word of God teaches is that we have been set at liberty. But we've not been set at liberty to live as we want. We've been set at liberty to live as we ought. You see, we've been set free from the bondage of sin. Not so that we can go and do as we please, but that we might please Him who has set us free. And so we have a responsibility to do good. Romans chapter 12, and again, to make sure that we know what good is, we go to God in God's Word to find out what that good is. And in Romans 12, verse 9, that love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation means hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And the word there translated cleave means to stick like glue. To stick to it. It means to be bonded so closely together that you can't see the joint. If you know something is good to do, stick to it. Stay with it. And remember that the Word of God teaches us our service is to be done as unto the Lord and not unto men. In other words, we do what we do because it is right before the Lord. We don't do it to please men or to gain man's approval. But we do it because it is right before the Lord. Because the truth is that if you and I do that which is right to please men, we find ourselves many times saying, I'm not going to do it for him. I'm not going to do it for her. Because we don't want to. But we just do what we do for the Lord. As servants unto the Lord. And so we are to cleave, to be stuck to that which is good. And then we find also in 1 Peter 3, not only are we to do good and realize that when we know what is right and don't do it, that it is sin, but we need to have a good manner of life. A good manner of life. In 1 Peter 3, verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You know, a Christian needs to have a good conscience, a clear conscience. There's a verse that says, the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. Do you know why? Because of a guilty conscience. The guilty conscience is always looking over its shoulder. The guilty conscience thinks, he knows what I've done. She knows what I've done. And you see, that's the guilty conscience. And as Christians, we are to seek to have a clear conscience. And then it says, if you look in verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And then if you look in verses 1 and 2, speaking in the context of wives, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. A wife who has an unbelieving husband, that husband knows that she claims to be a Christian, does he see a Christian testimony? Use this illustration too, and we make a wider application here to young people, and I've seen it with young people. They receive the Lord, they are saved, and they'll come to the house of God, and they will act like Christians there, and then they go home and they don't act like a Christian in front of their parents and siblings. And if those parents and siblings are lost, they say, well, wait a minute, you're a Christian. You say you're a Christian, but you're not acting any different here at home. We see no change in you here at home. And so we have to have a good walk, a good conduct of life. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. My Christianity is not real in my home. It's not real anywhere. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, of course, Paul is dealing in chapter 15 with those who are saying there is no resurrection. And he says in verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Another way of putting that would be, evil company corrupts good habits. You can have good habits, good morality, but be careful about having the wrong kind of companionship, because it corrupts good habits. If you find your Christian testimony slipping, and young Christians, both young in age and young in the faith, are particularly vulnerable in this regard, I think. If you find your Christian testimony slipping, that you know you're not behaving the way you should, one of the first things you must do is take a long, hard look at the kind of company that you are keeping. We need to be careful of our companionship. And then in Psalm 73, I'll just give you some references here. If you want to write them down, you can. We're not going to go through all of them, because there are so many. But the next thing is that it is good to draw near to God. in Psalm 73, verse 28, that it is good for me to draw near to God. In Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Those that walk uprightly, those who draw close to him. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Look in Acts chapter 11. I want you to notice the apostles' admonishments to the new believers here in verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Again, it's not speaking of trying to hold on, but cleave to the Lord, be stuck to the Lord. Take hold of the Lord and hold on in the sense of your relationship and your fellowship. Christianity is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Christianity. And so we are to cleave unto the Lord. And then the next one, what is good, has to be learned. It has to be learned. In Psalm 119, verses 66 to 68, the psalmist says, teach me good judgments. Teach me. Then if you look in Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to do thy will. We have to be taught to do the will of God. That's what Samuel said. If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. In verse 24 he says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Look at this. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. We have to be taught what is good. The basis for any good education is the Word of God. Because all good knowledge flows from the Lord. And then finally, look in Psalm 92, and I'll give you one more thing concerning what is good. In Psalm 92, we find that it is a good thing to praise the Lord. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. You find over and over again in the Word of God that God's people are instructed to give thanks unto the Lord. Now let me ask you, when was the last time you thanked the Lord? When was the last time you specifically and exclusively thank the Lord? Has there ever been a time when you went to the Lord in prayer and didn't ask him for something? Didn't ask him for a single thing. It was just simply a time of thanking God. Now that's hard to do. If you've never tried that, try going to prayer simply to thank the Lord. Don't ask for anything. Just thank him for all the good things, all the blessings, for his care. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And then in Psalm 147, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely or beautiful. Not only is it good to give thanks, but it is good to sing praises, to praise his name. So what is good? Well, not even scratch the surface with what I've said this evening. If you'll study just the word good in the Word of God, you'll find that there are many, many more references than the ones we've begun to touch on tonight. us what is good. Look in the Word of God. It will teach you what good is. And that is what you are to do. If you're going to do that which is good before the Lord, then we'll have to follow the instruction of the Word of God. And Lord bless that to us.